Open up with me to Luke 13. I've really vacillated on the tone. I know the message this morning. My personality, most of you know after, you know, being around for a while, and I got some validation from the other staff. I really want to call this sermon Don't Be Stupid, but that's going to offend a few people, and I don't want to offend anybody on purpose or knowingly. And it's not really my heart to, you know, to be that in your face. But what I found is that, especially around tragedy, around very painful and hurtful events, people feel this enormous need to become very philosophical and theological and cover for God and say things in trying to explain why this horrible thing happened. And I just find that it does more harm than good. And when you don't know, don't say. And that's where I'd really like to say, don't be stupid. But it's not really that you're being stupid. You're trying to be helpful. But sometimes those good intentions aren't good enough. And it causes pain and hurt for people. And it also is just quite bad theology, to be honest. So with that thought and that tone in mind, I might slip in a don't be stupid every once in a while, but understand, it's really don't be hurtful. Don't try so hard. Because generally in tragedy, what people really need is your love, and they need your presence way more than they need answers. All right? Let's stand together as we read from Luke 13, beginning in the first verse. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. How gruesome is that? And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. If it does not after that, you can cut it down." Let's pray. Father, help us to know how to respond in tragedy, when bad things happen, when unexplainable things are going on, when things that hurt us and hurt people around us and hurt our communities and hurt the world, help us to respond to people in a Jesus way. Lord, I pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would always please you, but I also pray, Father, that our words would not only please you, but they would edify one another and help one another, and that you would teach us better things to say and what not to say. and how to respond when people are in tragedy. Ask these things, Father, now, and help us to be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. I mean, people really do say the dumbest things in the name of God. Let me give you a few. A reporter asked Ray Lewis, how does it feel, you know, following the Super Bowl, how does it feel to be a Super Bowl champion? His response, when God is for you, who can be against you? Okay, so let's go back to that Super Bowl. There were brothers coaching against one another in that Super Bowl, so God obviously had a favorite team. If God be for me, who can be? Don't you think there was believers maybe on both teams? You know, God can be for me and also for you at the same time. That's kind of stupid. You know, like God wanted, like God cared who won the Super Bowl that year. Listen to this. This gets even more tragic. When candidate Richard Murdoch was campaigning for a Senate seat in Indiana, he said this. Even when life begins in that terrible situation of rape, that is something that God intended to happen. Oh, dear Lord, don't say anything like that ever to anybody ever. A famous radio political personality that I will not name because I don't want you to hate me or leave the church because I made this statement. A famous radio political personality following Antonin Scalia's recent death said in a Facebook post, and I've got the exact quote. I wanted to make sure I got the exact quote, and I got it. Perhaps God allowed Supreme Court Justice Scalia to die at this time to wake America up to how close we are to the loss of our freedom. The event is in the hand of God. No matter how the press wants to twist my words or meaning, I stand. We need to be awakened. God killed somebody to wake the rest of us up. One, you don't know that. And two, what a horribly hurtful thing to say to that family. God killed your dad so the rest of us could be blessed. The visitation for Michelle's mom. I mean, this is real life stuff, so this is real personal. In a few weeks, I'll be 54. Michelle's mom was 52. She was mowing the yard and never made it back to the house. Just dropped and just suddenly died, age 52. You saw our daughter Whitney singing up here on the stage. This morning, Michelle was expecting. She was pregnant with our first child, Whitney. And Michelle's mom died. Okay? Was that almost 29 years ago? But see, I remember things that were said at the visitation. I remember a lady that we'd all grown up with. I mean, friends of the family. Somebody that we'd grown up going to church together with. I remember standing at the funeral home. I remember, you know, just the hours of people coming to, you know, give their condolences and offer their comfort. But I remember this not being very comforting, this word. It's almost like this lady, and again, I know this lady, I still know her, she's still a friend of ours. Come on, I mean, she lives out of town now. I have no ill feelings towards her at all, but she said something I'll never forget. And people say it all the time concerning funerals. She said to Michelle and I know why Elaine died. Really? Because we don't know. And we're pretty well broken up about it. And Michelle, come on, think about it. We're expecting our first child. Here's what was said. I know why Elaine died. God needed her more in heaven. more than Michelle needed her mom at that time in her life? I mean, that's a pretty needy God. That's a pretty needy God. That was hurtful. It wasn't helpful. I'm just saying, don't be hurtful with your words. They asked Jesus about these Galileans. I mean, to make a point, their blood was mixed with the sacrifices. And the question is why did that happen to these guys? And Jesus said, you think they were worse sinners than other sinners? We all need to repent, or we will all likewise perish. How about this tower that fell and killed all these people? Do you think they were worse sinners than other sinners? No. Jesus even answered the question, lest you get it wrong. No, they weren't worse. This didn't happen because they were worse sinners or there was some reason. It just happened. But we will all likewise perish, okay? We all need to repent. We all need to be right with God. Dr. Leonard Sweet said this, wrote this. He said, excuse me, if something happens, and it's a question, then God intends it to happen? Question mark. God willed these things to happen? Question mark. Where do these professed Christians get this stuff? Where do they learn their bad theology? What Christians say after a disaster is disastrous and downright embarrassing. And I'm going to give you some of the worst this morning. And so I just want you to think about, you know, what might bring you comfort might bring hurt to another person. So let's be careful what we say. It's okay if that brings comfort to you, but we don't need to be spreading that bad theology to other people and accept them to swallow these sayings that don't necessarily have great theological basis. We've heard this said, they didn't deserve this. Do you understand when you say they didn't deserve this, you're also saying something else that other people really do deserve. Things like that to happen. They don't deserve this. Does anyone ever deserve suffering, pain, evil, rape, murder, cancer, you name it? Job, according to God, was a righteous man and upright, blameless before the Lord. That's God's testimony of Job. Yet terrible things happened to Job. You know, he didn't deserve that. But did his children deserve it? You know, did his servants deserve it? Nobody deserved it. Or we all deserve it. See, we have this us versus them mentality that makes it difficult for the world to receive Jesus because we think we should have better things happen to us because we follow the Lord, but they deserve. No, Jesus said we all deserve. The tower could fall on anybody. We all need to be seeking God. We all are in need of repentance. We all need God in our lives. Are you following me? People will say, well, it's just part of God's plan. Really? Then what do you do with what Jesus said in John 10:10? The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So whatever happened to that person, that was God's plan for them? What about Satan? What about my own individual will? What about other people and what they do or don't do? Let's not be so simplistic, because in our simplicity and our need to answer these complex questions, we're making it harder for people to receive from God because they heard, you know, My mom died at 52 because it was all part of God's plan. Are you following me? You don't know that that was part of God's plan or not. I'm just saying we ought to guard our words. We ought to be more careful. And that's what Jesus is saying, is he not? Madness, mayhem, failure, pain. That's not God's plan for you. That's the enemy's plan for you. But God's plan for you is that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. Do you realize that every single person that came to Jesus for healing was healed? He did not look at any single person and say, let me check. No, the Father says no to you. No, the Father says to you, this is the plan that he has for you. This is the design he has for you. Sorry, I can't do anything for you. See, it causes us to be reluctant to come to God because we don't know this might be his plan for us. We've heard that. Other people have said it. We've heard preachers say it. We've read it in books. It just doesn't line up with the Jesus of the Bible for me. See, I need to come and approach God with confidence, with boldness. As if he wants to help me and he wants to, come on, receive me. And he wants to turn things around that are going disastrous in my life. But if I think it's part of his plan for me, how can I ask him to undo his plan? Wouldn't that be unrighteous? If he has this plan for me, what am I doing trying to get out of it? But see, I think we can come to the throne boldly according to Hebrews 4. Now this one I'm a little mixed on. So listen to it. And there's a right and a wrong to this application. I'm just saying, let's be careful with this one. They're in a better place. Now if a person dies and they go into the presence of God, are they in a better place? And this isn't a trick question. Yes, they're in a better place. Okay? I mean, Paul said, you know, I'm pressed between two really hard decisions, Philippians 1:23. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. That's far better. Far better. But he said, but it's more necessary, more needful for you that I stay around. So while we say they're in a better place, come on, death is still always an enemy, according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26 says, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. They're in a better place. It's true. But this is the testimony I think we ought to be striving for. Where Paul says to Timothy, you know, I fought the good fight and I finished my course. I don't think we ought to take this life that we're living right now lightly. As if it doesn't matter. Like the only thing that matters is what happens to me after I die. Because I'm alive now and you're alive now. And God is concerned about this life that you're living right now. Are you following me? God values this life and we should also. The life, this life that we have is a gift from God. And while we have breath, we are to glorify and enjoy God on the earth. I don't think we should have such a carefree attitude of, oh, well, they're in a better place. Are you following me? I think we ought to strive to live every day of our life and be vibrant and be active and fulfill the plan of God until we finish our course. And yes, then we're going to be in a better place. But you know, if somebody dies really young, and you say to that family member, well, at least they're in a better place. I'm not in a better place because I miss them and I still need them. And while that was meant to be comforting, that can come across very hurtful. And so I just think we ought to be a little careful. You know, allow that family member to say something like that. You don't fill in that blank for them. If that family member says, you know, the thing that really brings me comfort is knowing they're in a better place, then that's an appropriate application of that statement. But for you to suggest that to that other person is imposing your thoughts, your will, your way on another person. That's not necessarily loving. Well, you just need to know they're in a better place. But I'm hurting, and I don't care about their better place right now. I'm talking about I'm in a bad place right now, and I need God, and I don't need your trite words. Could you just make me some soup and clean the bathrooms while you're here? That would be very helpful in time of tragedy. I've seen people do it. I mean, some of you are geniuses. When you show up at somebody's house that's gone through tragedy, you know what people really need is the trash bagged up and taken out. They need the kitchen cleaned. They need all the casseroles organized and put into smaller pans and things like that, and just a hug. That's what people really need when they're going through tragedies. Not lots of words. How many of you heard something like this? You know, when the tornado comes through or the hurricane. It's the judgment of God on our nation. You heard that? Well, if that's true, we should have all been wiped out a whole long time ago and every nation on earth, not just ours in particular. Natural disasters. What do you do with Galatians 3, 13 and 14? It says this, that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon the tree, in order that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of God through the Spirit. In other words, my understanding is that God poured out all of his wrath for sin on Jesus on the cross, in order that all of us could be redeemed. So if God is still pouring out his judgment on individuals' sins and on nations' sins, then what did Jesus do on the cross then? You see, when God was pouring out, as it were, his wrath for sin on Jesus on the cross, did you know that the earth quaked and the whole world went dark and Jesus felt that abandonment of his Father and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because at that moment, Jesus was redeeming all of mankind for all of our sinfulness, and he took all of that sin upon himself, and there's a great big word called propitiation that means God is satisfied with what Jesus did on the cross so that we could all have the opportunity to be righteous and to be right with God. That God is not pouring out his wrath on nations and on individuals. He poured all of that wrath out on Jesus so that we could all receive this gift of repentance and acceptance and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's good theology right there. Romans 2:4, write that on your refrigerator. Knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. How many of you ever heard when somebody's going through some sickness or tragedy, or whatever, that God is teaching that person a lesson? How many of you ever heard that in your life? I've heard that. Well, Lindy's up here. Is Lindy in the room? Oh, good. I'm going to pick on Lindy. All right. And she's so excited about it. You know, I've probably needed to teach Lindy a lesson or two in her life. One or two. And really Whitney, Morgan, and Lane. But I'm picking on Lindy. And she's so excited. But you know, it never really dawned on me while trying to teach her a lesson to orchestrate events that would cause her injury or illness to teach her a lesson. But that's what God is accused of all the time. That God orchestrated some tragedy, some illness, some horrible, horrible, horrible event in some person's life to teach them a lesson. Do you realize that you and I would go to prison for what God is accused of doing to people? God doesn't orchestrate a bit. And think about all the other people God has to affect in order to teach me a lesson. How did they get involved in all this? What did they do to have to suffer just to teach me a lesson? Again, God does bring correction. But He corrects us through His Word. And we have a choice. To be obedient children, or the Bible tells us in Hebrews, we can be rebellious, and instead of acting like sons, I'm going to use a bad word, we are going to act like bastards, illegitimate children. If we receive His correction, His Word, then we're obedient sons. But if we don't receive His correction, we're illegitimate. We're not following after the Lord. He doesn't orchestrate events to teach us a lesson. He teaches us by His Word, and we either receive it or we don't receive it. Now, actions do have certain consequences. But that doesn't mean it's the judgment of God. It just means there is cause and effect still in this world. But on the other hand, not every bad thing that happens is cause and effect. If a tower falls on you, what did you do? There's a lot of reasons bad things happen. Are you following me? Let's don't be so simplistic in our responses to people. Some things are cause and effect. Some things you were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And some things, just because we live in a sin-cursed world, bad things happen. But if you think God is against you and orchestrating these bad things, it's really hard for me to come in and sing, "How great is our God." I'm a little conflicted. I'm going to close with this. One of my favorite college classes was philosophy, believe it or not. Because it was just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And we had this crazy professor. I mean, he was crazy. I mean, he was a bald guy that wore his toupee about 30% of the time. And you never knew which direction it was going to be turned on his head. I'm not kidding. I never forget this class. He smoked unfiltered. So this lets you know how old I am. He smoked unfiltered cigarettes in class every day. And he'd smoke it all the way down till you could barely pinch it. And then when he was done with it, he'd kick the door open and he'd flick it out in the hall. Everybody ought to go to college. But he said, sometimes he believes in God, sometimes he doesn't believe in God. He's not really sure what he believed right now. But if he did believe in God, he really believed in sort of a maniacal God that just sort of treated people like puppets on a string and just orchestrated these events just for his pleasure to see how bad he could mess up with people's lives. Because I'm telling you, that's what people inadvertently say, is that God is just messing with us just because he can. That's not the God I know. That's not the God I'm inviting you to know. Jesus basically said, we're all in this same leaking boat together. That the death of the Galileans didn't single them out as specifically evil, but their death only served as an example of the need of all people to repent. All people to live in right relationship with God. Jesus did not absolve them. They didn't get some special exemption because something tragic happened to them. But it didn't make them more wicked or evil on the other side. Jesus Jesus didn't find them any different than all of the rest of us. All people stand on the same broken ground in broken relationship with God, and all need the merciful touch of God. We're in the season of Lent. We're slowing down. Literally what Lent means. It means to slow down. The word literally means spring. It's a time for soul searching. It's a time to consider new possibilities. It's time for all of us to repent. But repentance isn't just me wailing at the altar, being so grievously tormented because of my sinfulness. Repentance really is a gift from God. Repentance is wholly dependent on God's invitation to take action. Repentance is a grace, a mercy from God that He extends to every person. God loves us. He desires us to be in a safe, saving relationship with Himself. The greatest current event in the world today is not Trump versus Hillary. That's causing some of you to pray right now, right up. The greatest current event is God's love. In the words of Reverend Emily Heath, whose Vermont church was destroyed by Hurricane Irene, what'd that church do? Here was her response. I know God will be there tomorrow because I know that wherever there is hope, there is God. While the flood was, God is, and God will be. That's a great response to tragedy. What about this fig tree? Matthew and Mark, Jesus cursed the fig tree, but we have a different fig tree with the same kind of thing. No production. The frustrated owner decides it's time to cut his losses and cut down the tree and move on. But the servant tending the garden offers an alternative solution. The gardener suggested that he extend special care and one more year's chance for this tree to produce. Let me say to you, God is not ready to cut you off today. He's not ready to throw you into the burn pile. He's giving you a chance to repent of your barrenness. It's time right now for you to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny to be fruitful and His life-giving creation. Today is your second chance. My last question, does everything really happen for a reason? I don't believe so. Or that really happens for a reason, but some of those reasons are bad. They're not all good and they're not all godly. If it brings you comfort to think so, then think so. But don't tell somebody else what happened to them happened for a reason. But when bad things happen, I know that God comforts, God heals, and He's available for you today. And so I really believe I'm supposed to minister to some individuals right now that maybe you're brokenhearted because of some tragedy in your life. Maybe you're suffering in your body and you're really conflicted. I don't know what God's will is here. Let's just say the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Or perhaps you've been really far away from God and you just need to come back into right relationship with God today. Or perhaps you've never had a relationship with God and today's the best day of your entire rest of your life. Because this will be the day that you call the name of the Lord and receive everlasting life. James 5, verse 14 says, is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who sinned. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's even committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Confess your sins. Confess your faults. confess your weakness to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Because the prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. Let's stand to our feet. Now, if you're going to be dismissed right now, let me just say this to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May you be filled with joy and peace and strength and comfort. But if you need to come and receive something from God, then we're not done with you yet. For the rest of you, I really want to see the building packed out as we're all coming in to see God together on Wednesday night, first Wednesday. Could you give me one Wednesday a month to come in to see God? Can you come in and share a meal with us? Please do so. So I'll see most of you on Wednesday. I'll see the rest of you on Sunday. Bring your friends back. If you need some personal ministry right now, we're here for you. God bless you. Go out and enjoy this glorious day. God bless you.